Yeah. Gently, subtly, Voss extended a sense of camaraderie into the force as he spoke.
I'd like to get a little payback. Know what I mean?
Bosk regarded him for a moment longer, then seemed to make a decision.
I know someone who might know where she is. Come on.
He rose and started across the room, shoving his way through the crowd with no finesse and a great deal of confidence. Voss followed his new best friend to a booth back in one of the darkest corners of the bar. An Anuba, its long tail curled almost twice around its canine pale-striped form, dozed under the table. It awoke at Voss's approach and started to snore. With a slight wave of his hand, Voss calmed it just enough. It wouldn't do for the beast to suddenly become overly friendly, but an attack wouldn't help his mission either. It sniffed the air, and its growl turned into a whine as it relaxed, though its ears and eyes showed that it remained alert. Seated in the booth were a Thelan bounty hunter with strawberry blonde hair styled in deceptively innocent-looking pigtails. Lots Razi, preferred weapon the grappling boa. A male Cayuso with an enormous and doubtless heavy metallic hat. Embo utilizes the hat as both weapon and transportation, held in high regard among his fellow bounty hunters. Owner of the Anuba, Marok. A droid, High Singer, extremely effective bounty hunter, believed to be unique. And an earnest-looking, shaved-headed young man, who had to be...
Hey, Boba, said Bosk. This guy is looking for no name. The rookie.
Boba Fett was young, looking to be only in his late teens.
Rookie, Fett snorted. Don't you believe it? That woman knows exactly what she's doing.
And what she's doing is...
conning people. What do you want to know anyway?
Fett scowled into his drink, refusing to elaborate. Clearly Ventress was a touchy subject. Voss was unsurprised.
Like you, I got cheated out of a couple of big payouts, he offered.
She didn't cheat us,
Lots Rotzi piped up. She swirled her cocktail, her eyes twinkling with humor as she peered up at Voss.
We got our pay. Just not how the boss here likes it.
True enough, muttered Fett. But I don't like her style.
He drained his drink for emphasis.
Agreed, Voss said mildly.
He didn't attempt to directly influence any of the bounty hunters. They hadn't gotten their reputations by being weak-minded. He simply stood, exuding good cheer, which wasn't a pretense.
Fett looked Voss up and down.
You think you can give her a run? Make some trouble for her?
I'm certain of it.
Fett nodded, seemingly satisfied.
All right. I got a tip she took a job on Pantora, chasing down a vulpine named Moragai.
He removed a holoprojector from his pocket, and the small image of a four-armed humanoid sprang to life on his outstretched palm. His expression darkened as he regarded the figure.
I was going to take that job myself, until I heard she got involved. You think you can handle her? Be my guest.
He tossed the holoprojector to Voss as if it were a discarded sabacc chip. Voss caught it deftly. Bosk grinned at him.
Let's hope you're man enough.
Voss flipped the holoprojector in his palm, winked, and left. But not before he heard what Boba Fett doubtless thought was the final word on the subject.
He has no idea what he's getting himself into.
True enough, Voss thought with a mental shrug. I never do.
And that was half the fun. Pantora was the primary moon in orbit around the planet Orto Plutonia. The moon was as temperate as the planet was icy and hostile, and had an elegant cityscape with a repeating pattern of domes shaped like teardrops, or, less poetically, onions. The Pantorans, for whatever reason, seemed inordinately fond of building on multiple levels. Parks, walkways, and other varieties of decorative architectural constructs adorned what on other worlds would be unremarkable rooftops. Asajj Ventress was not a poetic woman.
and the architecture of Pantora concerned her only in as much as it was making it difficult for her to track down her quarry. At the present moment, she stood atop a flattened version of such a tear-shaped dome, vision-enhancing goggles whirring and clicking as they readjusted. She'd gotten a tip that her quarry preferred this part of the capital city, coming here to simply wander. A specific site would have been more helpful, a bar, a brothel, even a particular statue. But Ventress had learned to cultivate patience in the last several months. Her augmented gaze traveled over the decorative buildings and multicolored trees that broke up the expanses of the red stone with which the Pantorans seemed to like to decorate their public spaces. The day was a pleasant one, and many Pantorans were out enjoying the sunshine. Speeders zipped overhead, though without the frantic urgency of those navigating the sky lanes of Coruscant. There were clusters of family units, from adults to infants, setting out picnics in the shade of the trees while the younglings ambled about happily. Young lovers were here too, strolling with their heads bent close to each other. Ventress's gaze lingered a moment on a family, a male and female Mirialin with three younglings of various ages. The male was giving one of them a ride on his back, and the boy was clearly delighted. The adult female, presumably the mother, looked on smiling fondly. With a muttered oath of self-chastisement, Ventress returned to her search. But she couldn't shake the image. Once, she had belonged to a family, a sisterhood, strong and proud. Now they were dead, and she would never hold a sister's child, all because of Dooku. Those Mirialins were fools. They did not understand how easily and completely a single moment could destroy everything. Let them laugh in their ignorance and play with their spawn while they could. Slowly, Ventress moved her head, covered now with short, pale blonde hair, tracking along the open areas. A few lonely citizens sat on the steps of various buildings, eating their lunches. Some threw pieces of their meals to various small creatures, which survived by looking appealing to bored sentients who... Ventress paused, adjusting the electrobinocular goggles slightly, and a smile curved her lips. He was hunched over, four eyes blinking slowly, one hand holding a sandwich. A second arm held a cup, while the other two were plucking a crust to toss to the small, rodent-like creatures, whose tails flickered energetically as they consumed the food. Moragai. There's my Vulpi, Ventress said softly, her voice a satisfied purr. She quickly calculated the best approach, fired a cable from her current rooftop to a lower one, then hooked the bow over it and slid down. She landed gracefully and straightened, gazing down at her quarry. As if sensing her, the Vulpi froze in his actions of feeding the animals, and slowly turned his head. Their eyes met. Ventress was unconcerned that she had been made. No bounty yet had escaped her. She dropped to the pavement and walked toward him casually, smiling as he leapt to his feet, bellowed at her, and took off. Let the chase begin. Moragai slammed deliberately into a passerby, sending them tumbling behind him to block Ventress's pursuit. Four arms lent him extra dexterity as he leapt onto statuary, swung from overhands, and frightened various mounts and their riders. While the chaos prevented Ventress from getting the clear shot she wanted, which would have ended the hunt in record time, she was not averse to giving chase. The force buoyed her and guided her, and the prey was not so clever as to be entirely unpredictable to her keen senses. Moragai had to utilize his sheer physicality to shove his way through the crowd. Ventress, whose friend was the Force, conserved her energy for the final capture by simply soaring over the crowds of frightened fallen pedestrians with a few well-timed leaps. She thought she had him when the Vulpi ran out of rooftop. Moragai hesitated, glancing over his shoulder at Ventress. Then he took a running jump and somehow made it to the next rooftop. Not bad, Ventress granted him, effortlessly making the leap herself. She let the Force tell her what Moragai would do next, and followed its guidance when she lost sight of him briefly. She cut a corner on one of the rooftops when he sought to throw her off by racing along the streets. She smiled to herself as she saw him emerge, and arcing her body, she dived atop him. They slammed hard to the ground. The impact forced her to tumble away from him, and she leapt lightly to her feet, facing him. The bounty was higher if she brought him in alive. So as Moragai stared at her, panting, Ventress was calculating the best way to bring him down. Suddenly, she caught a flurry of movement out of the corner of her eye, and a figure sailed across her field of vision. Her Volpi went down beneath it. Ventress was so taken aback, she simply stared in astonishment as the two grappled. Recovering, she demanded,
"What is this?"
The dark-haired humanoid, struggling with his two arms to pin down the arms of a being who had four, turned his head and shot her a grin.
"It's called a tackle."
Chapter 5.
Fury surged within Ventress, and her voice dropped to its lowest, most dangerous timbre.
"Who are you?"
Moragai was still straining against the interloper. The man, though, again grinned up at Ventress.
"Relax. I've got this one, honey."
And he actually winked.
"Honey?"
Asajj Ventress stepped forward, yanked the laser brain off her bounty, and punched him soundly in the jaw. With a satisfying grunt, he went sprawling, staring up at her incredulously as his hand went to his mouth. Moragai, equally incredulous, stared wildly from Ventress to the intruder. Then, with a delighted cackle, he sprang to his feet and was off again in a heartbeat. Ventress set off in pursuit, her outrage lending her speed. She didn't spare the interloper another glance. Whatever the idiot's goal had been, be it a serious attempt to steal her bounty, or simply an excessive and ill-advised display of perceived masculine superiority, he had only delayed the inevitable. Moragai had a couple of seconds lead on her now. An ordinary tracker would have lost him amid the unnecessary and vexing rooftop architecture. But Ventress was able to keep him in sight until he darted into a cluster of trees and yet another park area. She halted, catching her breath, trying to reach out in the Force to find him. But there were so many life forms in close proximity that it wasn't possible. Silently, she moved around, senses alert. She was fairly certain he hadn't leapt to another forested rooftop. The gap would be too large for any non-force user to bridge without tools, and the Volpi had none. Did any world really need this many trees on its rooftops? If it hadn't been for the stranger's interference, she'd have had Moragai three times over by this point. Granted, she'd been the one to lose her temper and surrender to the impulse to punch the cocky fool. She sensed a presence behind her, and closed her eyes, gathering strength.
"Do you normally go around stealing other people's bounties?"
she snapped, as the dark-haired idiot slipped in beside her, a blaster drawn.
"Or was this just my lucky day?"
He stepped forward, moving with grace and skill as he peered around the trees.
"Bounties are fair game. You must be new at this."
She arched a brow.
He grinned. "Play nice? You may get lucky later."
The flirtation attempt was so atrocious that Ventress couldn't even find it in her to be offended.
"You're lucky I don't kill you right now,"
she muttered, slipping around a tree trunk. No Volpi.
"Luck is exactly what you'd need to kill me," he replied.
Crunch. It was a faint sound, but both of them tensed. Moragai must have thought that they were so engaged in exchanging quips that he could sneak past them. Ventress's respect for the unnamed bounty stealer went up a small notch. Few ears were sharp enough to have detected the soft noise. It was time to end this, and her patience, both with the idiot and with the bounty, had worn out. Ventress homed in on the source of the sound, extended a hand, and casually uprooted the tree behind which Morgai had been hiding. He stared at her, four eyes wide with shock, then fled toward the edge of the rooftop. Ventress followed, and so did the idiot. She shoved him aside in irritation.
Don't even think about it. He's mine.
She wondered what Morgai had in mind, if anything. He wouldn't be able to leap to the next rooftop, and the fall was... He jumped. Ventress and the idiot slid to a halt at the edge and peered over to see the Volpi swinging nimbly from the hanging signs of various shops, putting his extra two arms to exceptional use. With the skill of a Wookiee, he went from Ogsor's fine millinery to fashions by Fajilki to a fit for all feet, while Ventress and the idiot paced him atop the roof. The chase had brought them from the public parks into what was clearly a high-fashion merchant area, and Ventress spared a moment to be amused at the looks of the wealthy, well-groomed Pantorans peering nervously up at the gymnastic Volpi. Morgai hung from the swinging sign that proclaimed the Paisley Picobai, having run out of convenient handholds, and as he hesitated about where to leap next, Ventress dived straight for him. Her hands closed on his shirt. Her momentum carried them forward, crashing through another sign with a depiction of various desserts. Ventress shot out a hand and grabbed hold of a pipe that ran the width of the building. Morgai's shirt tore, and he slipped from her grasp, but she reached out a second time and seized his hand. He clung to it, ready to take his chances with her rather than fall several stories to the unforgiving pavement. Using the force to lock her fingers in place on the pipe, Ventress tightened her grip on Morgai's hand, but his palm was sweaty from the chase, and he began to slide inexorably downward.
"You slippery forearmed slime ball!" she shouted.
He fell, six limbs waving frantically like an insect, his mouth open in a scream. Ventress was already moving her fingers to catch him with the force when Morgai thumped down on the hood of a passing speeder. She gaped, stunned at the Volpi's impossibly good luck, as he clambered for a better grip aboard the vessel. He craned his neck and lifted one of his arms in a rude gesture.
Me just too, Wormo!
See you, suckers.
You have got to be kidding me,
Ventress thought. Unbelievable. Well, there was nothing for it but to start the chase. For the fourth time, Ventress dropped lithely to the street level and began to run. She was strong and fit, but she was beginning to think that this might be an exceptionally long chase, and so emulated her prey by hopping onto the back of a bright red vessel as it whisked past. She kept her gaze focused on the blue airspeeder to which her bounty clung like a burr on a bantha. As it rounded a curve, the speeder disappeared from Ventress's view for the space of a heartbeat, and when her own speeder made the turn, the shiny blue surface of the vehicle was noticeably devoid of a Volpi hitchhiker. Her gaze flickered to the sidewalks, where she caught some movement, and she nimbly leapt from the back of her hijacked speeder. But by the time she had rolled back to her feet, her quarry had disappeared into the crowd. Ventress sighed. Slowing her pace to a less attention-grabbing walk, she moved through the throng, constantly searching for Morgai. It seemed there was a street festival of some sort in the area today. If the profusion of vendors and the appetizing smell of food were reliable indicators. She emerged into the city's main square, the center of which was dominated by an enormous statue. The bearded man with a kindly, paternal face had struck a dramatic pose atop a pillar. Four stone narglatches, fearsome predators with a mane of fleshy spines, roared silently at the base. Ventress sensed the annoying interloper behind her again, and folding her arms, turned to regard him. He was easy on the eyes, with that mane of black dreadlocked hair, strong features with an unusual tattoo of a yellow stripe, and a lithe but muscular body. His pleasant looks didn't lessen her ire one whit, however.
You just don't know when to quit, do you?
You know, this would be a lot easier if we worked together, he said, as if she hadn't even spoken. He extended a hand, ready to shake hers,
She batted it aside and pushed forward.
I work alone.
Okay, partner,
he replied cheerily.
I am not your partner,
she retorted, steaming ahead of him and jumping onto the topmost step of the monument. She scanned the crowd.
You sure are dedicated,
he said behind her. Ventress pointed a stiff index finger directly into his face.
Don't test me.
She held his gaze for a moment, then turned back to her search.
Look, it's not my fault you lost him.
That did it. She whirled and clamped her hand over his mouth.
Stay out of my way,
she warned. She felt his lips move against her hand and tightened her grip, shaking him by the jaw like a dog she was muzzling.
I mean it.
Again, the lips moved. But his eyes weren't on her, and he lifted a hand to point. He said. She turned to see that Morugai had caught yet another ride. Still gripping the idiot's mouth closed, Ventress said,
Looks like you're useful after all.
She shoved him backward, leapt onto the back of a stone narglatch, and then sprang onto an idling single-seat speeder. The Rhodian driver protested, but Ventress kicked him in the chest, and he fell to the pavement, recovering sufficiently to curse her as she took off after her quarry. She closed the gap between them quickly. Before he could leap to another vehicle, Ventress rose in her seat and knocked her bow. Even moving, she couldn't miss at this range. Morugai shocked her by not fleeing. He leapt directly at her. Ventress found herself flat on the back of a narrow vessel careening at full speed with a four-armed vulpi atop her, trying to crush her trachea with her own bow. They tumbled off her stolen speeder onto the hood of another one. Ventress grunted, air knocked out of her lungs, yet again by the bulk of the surprisingly vigorous Morugai. She shoved upward, but he yanked the bow from her grip and tossed it away. Ventress was done with finesse. That bow had been given to her by her fellow night sisters. Snarling like an animal, she used the force to augment her own not inconsiderable strength, flipped the vulpi over, and straddled him. She had two arms pinned, but the second pair and his powerful legs worked together to first seize her and then kick her over his head. She nearly slid off the vessel, whose Pantoran driver was more than likely desperately regretting his decision to venture forth this morning, but levitated herself back onto it. A vulpi leg kicked at her, and as she rolled out of the way, one of two flailing lower arms smacked her in the ribs. Only her sharply honed instincts allowed her to pull back enough to take the worst out of the blow. Shooting to her feet, she followed with a good uppercut. But even using the force to anticipate Morugai's moves, she was at a disadvantage fighting someone who had four fists. Ducking to avoid another punch, she reached for his shoulder to unbalance him, and was rocked by a left hook that connected solidly with her jaw. As she struggled to regain her balance, tightening her grip on him, she felt a piece of his shoulder plating come loose in her hand, and then she was falling. Air whooshed by her. Her head still spinning from Morugai's blow, she reached out to the force to slow her fall, and was caught by a strong hand that shot out of nowhere. Dangling a few meters above the street, Ventress peered up to see the idiot gazing down at her from another speeder. Deftly, he lowered the vessel, releasing her to drop safely onto the pavement, and brought his stolen speeder to the ground. Ventress touched her mouth and moved her jaw cautiously. It wasn't broken, but it hurt like mad.
It's the fourth arm that always gets you,
she muttered. She eyed the idiot, waiting for the inevitable flippant comment. Instead, he pressed his lips together and shook his head.
We would have caught him if you'd let me help you.
She scowled. It hurt her mouth.
I told you, I don't need your help.
Well, he said, reaching behind him, it didn't look that way just now.
He was holding her bow. Ventress eyed it, then him. She snatched the bow from his grasp.
Am I supposed to be grateful that you stepped in? Meanwhile, you let the bounty get away.
Hey, I'm not the one who let him get away.
Ventress stepped forward with cool deliberation.
You should stop talking. Now,
she said. The idiot backed up as she approached.
Or I swear, I will blast you back to whatever hole you crawled out of.
She put a hand on his chest, let it linger there just long enough, then shoved him out of the way. She felt him watching her as she strode off. She didn't care. Let him get an eyeful. The back of her was all he was ever going to see. Her bounty had escaped. She was tired. Her jaw was on fire. And she'd had to deal with someone who was the single most annoying man she had ever met. A drink was definitely in order.
Chapter 6.
Voss was used to being told he didn't know when to quit. But those who said so were wrong. He did know when. Now, for instance, was an excellent time to quit. For a little while, anyway. Ventress's aquiline nose was far too out of joint for any progress to be made. He'd give her some time to cool off, then try again. Voss was more than a little confused. He liked the persona he'd created for this mission. He was dashing, and witty, and strong, and flirty. Okay, the persona was really pretty much his usual self, except for the flirty part. But what else was he supposed to do? Ventress, although more than a little scary, even Voss had to admit, was an attractive woman. Slender but deceptively strong, with unusual ice-blue eyes and, well, a lot of other things that people might reasonably notice. Of course she'd get a lot of attention. Unwanted, obviously, but she had doubtless come to expect it. And even Kenobi had pointed out that Voss couldn't afford to stand out too much. He was already pushing it by simply attempting to ally with her. He could see that now. Voss followed Ventress easily, making sure she didn't spot him. It was a practice he had mastered long ago. That part of going undercover, at least, was familiar to him. She had no speeder, but went on foot, so he was spared the necessity of using the Force to convince someone to part with their vehicle, or of just stealing another. His stomach rumbled. Chasing after the agile Moragai had worked up an appetite. He purchased a sandwich of roasted local vegetables and ate as he trailed his assignment. Once or twice, he thought she'd made him, and he ducked into a doorway or stepped behind a conveniently large pedestrian. By the time he'd finished his snack, wishing he had bought something to wash it down with, Ventress was approaching a bar. "Perfect timing," he murmured, and smiled. Her half-hour walk ought to have allowed her space enough to cool her anger, and maybe let her guard down a bit. He slid into the seat beside her, and tossed a credit onto the bar. Ventress turned to him, and her dismay would have been comical had it not been so obviously sincere.
"Can't I get a moment of peace?" she exclaimed, throwing her hands up in the air and then resting her face in them.
"Why do you want a moment of peace? I thought you were all on fire to go get that Vulpi."
He pointed to a picture of something at the bartender's elbow.
"I had the Vulpi until you felt compelled to tackle him,"
she reminded him.
"Your idiocy cost me 25,000 credits.
Voss accepted the drink with a nod of thanks.
"If we had worked together, we would be splitting those credits right now," he said.
"I have this memory,"
she said, her husky voice dropping even deeper with dislike.
"This memory of telling you that the bounty was mine, that I didn't need your help, and to stay out of my way."
"Funny. I have a memory where you told me I could be useful."
"And,"
she continued as if he hadn't spoken,
"I also told you that I wasn't your partner, and that I work alone."
Voss imagined that just the venom in her words would have cowed an ordinary man. Fortunately, he wasn't one.
"Doesn't have to be that way,"
She opened her mouth. At that precise instant, a small light on his right bracer began to blink.
Terrible timing, Kenobi,
he thought. Then,
actually, probably excellent timing.
He lifted a finger and said,
hold that thought. I'm sure it'll be blistering. I'll be right back.
She looked disappointed. Not, he knew, at the fact that he was leaving, but at the fact that she couldn't fire another volley of insults in his direction. Sighing, Ventress contented herself with saying,
I don't care.
If she truly didn't care, she wouldn't try to leave. And if she did attempt to sneak out, he'd follow her. Voss nodded and stepped out into the bustle of the street. A safe distance away, he activated the holoprojector. A small, blue Obi-Wan Kenobi regarded him with a slight smile.
I must say, I'm relieved to see you're still alive. How are things progressing?
How to answer that one? She's everything you described, and more, Voss said.
Kenobi looked pleased.
Ah, so you've gained her trust? She's willing to work with you?
Voss considered, recalling the incidents of the last hour.
I wouldn't say work with me so much as allow me to be in the general vicinity of her.
I can't say I'm surprised. No one expected this to be an easy mission. Something is better than nothing at all.
Your lack of faith wounds me. I'll have her eating out of my hand in no time.
With the Force, all things are possible. Except that.
Okay, maybe I exaggerated a little.
Kenobi had that familiar, slightly pained expression, like he often did when Anakin piped up with something outrageous but exciting.
Only a trifle, I'm sure. Keep the Council and me apprised of the situation.
Will do.
May the Force be with you. No doubt you'll need it.
Even though the hologram was only a few centimeters high, Voss could see a twinkle in Kenobi's eye. Despite the direness of the mission, the other Jedi was enjoying this.
Ha ha.
Voss deactivated the holo-emitter and stuck it back in his pocket. Obi-Wan hadn't said it, but Voss knew it was implied. He needed to seal the deal with Ventress, and quickly. She was still there when he sauntered back into the bar, sparing him a brief glance before returning her attention to a green piece of metal plating.
You know, funny thing,
he mused, as if it had just occurred to him.
I don't even know the name of the woman who's been such a pain in my neck all day.
A ghost of a smile touched her full lips.
Just the neck?
He shrugged, and for the first time that day, the smile he gave her was genuine.
Well, for now.
She held his gaze, her ice chip eyes regarding him not with anger and annoyance this time, but with evaluation. Voss had been raised in the Jedi Temple. He had been constantly tested, judged, and critiqued during his youth. And he knew that every time he stood before the Jedi Council, they were considering his appropriateness for whatever mission they tasked him with. Being scrutinized was not a new experience for him. But this was different. Kenobi had told him Ventress didn't suffer fools. And yet Voss knew he had been behaving like one around her since they had met. This was the moment, he realized, when his mission would either succeed or fail spectacularly. Kenobi had also cautioned him against trying to use the Force to manipulate Ventress in any way.
She's extraordinarily strong-willed, and she's more experienced in the Force than many Jedi Knights, he had said.
Voss relaxed into the appraisal. He was coming to respect Asajj Ventress. She had demonstrated that she was good at what she did. And he'd already told her he thought she was a pain in the neck. These were real, true feelings, and he was comfortable with them both. He'd rolled the dice. Now was the time to watch them land. He met her gaze evenly and waited.
Ventress,
she said finally.
Voss,
he extended a hand. She eyed it, and then they shook. It was the first time she'd touched him without anger, or, at the very least, annoyance. He gestured to the metal plating she had been examining.
What's that?
She made a sour face and took a swig of her drink.
Oh, I pulled it off the bullpie.
Jackpot.
Can I see it? Ventress looked at him with mild curiosity, then shrugged.
Here. It's of no use, anyway.
Keeping an expression of mild curiosity on his face, Voss extended himself into the Force, closing his fingers around the object of no use, and opening to what it had to tell him. He wasn't concerned about revealing himself to Ventress. His psychometry shell was so smoothly integrated in the Force that no one, not even fellow Jedi Masters, had been able to detect it. The bar, with its music and conversations and clinking of glasses, retreated, growing faint and distant. Voss felt as if he were falling forward into a hole, but the sensation was a familiar and comfortable one. Images rushed up. A female Rodian with gray skin, holding a blue youngling. He bounced up and down in his mother's lap excitedly, clutching a small stuffed toy. He warbled as a hand reached out to caress his small cheek, and a face came into Voss's view. Morugai's face. Only a glimpse, but it was enough. The Vulpi's movements were gentle and slow, and his expression was kind. Occasionally, Voss was able to sense emotions as well as see and hear, and his own heart was suddenly warm with Morugai's love for both mother and child. Voss mentally disconnected from the Vulpi's feelings and manipulated the image in his mind's eye, drawing back to take in the rest of the room. He focused on the details, memorizing them quickly. A narrow bell-shaped window with a potted flowering plant and curtains of blue and yellow. The view out the window showed the angry zigs and zags of graffiti in green and purple paint in a language he didn't know. The image faded, and the sights and sounds of the bar returned. Only a few seconds had passed. He handed the "of great use after all" object back to Ventress with a non-committal gesture. "I don't think Morugai's left the planet. I might know where he is." She eyed him skeptically.
"Really?"
she said.
"And how would you know that?"
"I got a tip."
"You might have said so earlier."
"Well," Voss said, "I only share that information with partners."
"I see."
He rose.
"You coming?"
Again, the thorough scrutiny. The Nassage Ventress tossed a couple of credits on the bar, rose, and followed.
"This tip must not have been very good,"
Ventress said about half an hour later as they stood once again on a rooftop.
"You seem to just be wandering around."
Voss frowned. His gift was useful, but far from perfect. He didn't get to select what it revealed to him, though he could direct it somewhat. It would have been nice if he could have picked up a street address, but he had only a brief glimpse of run-down buildings to go on. Of course, he couldn't tell that to Ventress.
"I'm just zeroing in on the right place,"
he said with as much confidence as he could muster. He recalled the details and concentrated on looking for graffiti in colors of purple and green.
"I think this is it."
He pointed to a window several floors up in a tall, narrow building. The blue and yellow curtains were closed.
"Let's find out, shall we?"
Ventress lifted her bow. Both string and bolt glowed pink. As she fired, Voss realized that they were made of plasma energy, as was the cable that snaked across the distance between the two buildings.
"Oh, hey, that's handy," said Voss.
"Yes,"
Ventress agreed.
"It is."
She positioned the bow atop the plasma cable, grasped each end of the weapon, and slid down the cable to the ground without another word. Voss eyed her, sighed in minor annoyance. He had to go down the old-fashioned way, climbing like someone who couldn't use the Force so as not to tip her off. Ventress awaited him impatiently. The door of the main entrance slid aside at a touch, and they took a rickety lift up to the fourth floor. As they approached the apartment door, Voss, acting like the take-charge, assertive bounty hunter he was supposed to be, stepped in front of Ventress and banged on the door.
"Open up!"
he demanded. Silence. He could sense life forms on the other side of the door. No doubt Ventress was also picking up on them.
"I said open up!"
There was no response. The seconds ticked by. Slightly nonplussed, Voss gestured to Ventress.
Open it.
The former Sith acolyte rolled her eyes, knocked an arrow, and fired it into the control panel. The panel sparked and sizzled as the door slid open.
Chapter 7.
Voss knew whom he would see, and was poised to charge when Ventress, grunting, sprang forward and kicked Moragai squarely in the midsection. Caught utterly off guard, the Volpi stumbled backward, but didn't run. Instead, he leapt in front of the pair of Rodians Voss had seen in his vision, a mother and child, and spread his forearms as wide as possible in an age-old gesture of defense.
"Don't hurt them!"
The baby shrieked, terrified, and the mother clutched him close. Her eyes, always large and expressive in Rodians, seemed huge to Voss as she stared at him and Ventress. He felt a twinge of remorse.
"I didn't do anything wrong!"
From what Voss remembered, embezzlement was generally considered pretty wrong in most circles. But everyone always said they didn't do anything wrong.
That's what usually comes first. Protestations of innocence.
"I don't care," Ventress replied.
She had drawn her bow and was pointing an arrow at Moragai's broad chest. Voss had his blaster trained on the Volpi.
"The Rancan put a price on your head so big, I'm lucky I found you first,"
Ventress continued.
"We found you," Voss reminded her. "We."
He paused, then added,
"Together." Ventress closed her eyes briefly.
Fortunately, Moragai was too distraught to try to take advantage of it.
"If it's money you want, I have plenty!"
"Bribery, I come second."
"I know," said Ventress. "But we're being paid well enough to get that money back to its rightful owner."
She hadn't put any particular emphasis on the word "we're," but Voss brightened.
"Thank you."
"I'm not the villain here!"
Moragai barreled on.
"Can't you see? I was just trying to do what's best for my family, for my child!"
Voss winced inwardly at the words. The youngling was not Moragai's biological child. The infant appeared to be pure Rodian. Yet that didn't matter. "My family. My child." Like any good mate and parent, Moragai simply wanted what was best for those he loved. They weren't living in a palace. The family was obviously barely making enough to get by. Moragai had been desperate to change that, and Voss couldn't blame him. Not everyone had been raised with care and affection in a temple, with plenty to eat and a roof over their heads. Voss was passingly familiar with the Rang clan, and he knew that Moragai had been right. Even though the Volpi had taken money that wasn't his, he wasn't the villain.
"How touching."
Ventress's bored voice sounded even colder to Voss than usual.
"But I'm afraid I can't help you."
Quickly, before things could escalate to violence in the close quarters, Voss lowered his blaster slightly and reached out toward Moragai with his other hand.
"You're coming with us."
Moragai lashed out. Two arms came up. One knocked the blaster out of Voss's hand. A second landed a nasty punch to the Jedi's jaw. The other two arms shoved. Hard.
"Whoa!"
Voss stumbled backward, almost knocking Ventress down. She dodged artfully. Moragai glanced back at his wife, his four eyes filled with anguish. She wrapped her arms around their son.
"Run!"
she pleaded.
"Just run!"
"I love you." The words didn't need to be spoken to fill the room. Moragai did run, leaping without a second's hesitation through the bell-shaped window, shattering the glass. Voss raced to the broken window just in time to see Morgai get to his feet, shake himself, and scamper off.
You sure were right about that fourth arm,
Voss muttered, rubbing his chin.
You idiot!
Ventress's fists were clenched, and Voss braced himself for another one of her memorable punches. But she wasn't wasting time on him. She jumped down to the pavement and set off after their quarry. Morgai had commandeered a bright red shiny land speeder. The only problem was, it was facing the wrong direction. He glanced up to see Ventress racing after him on foot. Frantically jabbing at the controls and peering over his shoulder, he backed the speeder down the street. Ventress closed the gap between them. Voss emulated his hopefully soon-to-be partner, jumping down from the apartment and using the force to help him land softly. Glancing around, he spied a conveniently ownerless speeder bike with long handlebars and a low seat flanked by outrigger repulsor pods that he borrowed. He caught up to the running Ventress just as Morrigai swung the speeder around and took off. Ventress slowed and stopped, wreathed in a gray cloud of fumes. She clenched her fist and snarled in frustration.
Need a lift, partner?
Voss offered with a grin, pulling up beside her. She glared at him, sighed heavily, and hopped on. Ventress was done with Morrigai. Voss could feel it through the force, coming off her in waves. A grim, frightening determination that made him glad he was not the primary target of it. He slid the speeder bike, highly maneuverable despite its over-muscled appearance, underneath the larger vehicle, then rose right in front of it. Morgai gasped. Ventress leapt as smoothly as an air diver, her long, lean body arcing perfectly. She was a thing of beauty, as her arms struck Morgai in the chest, and she pulled, her momentum carrying both of them off the speeder, to tumble onto the pavement below. Morgai rose and turned to flee, but Voss was there, blocking his way. Whimpering, the Volpi turned to see Asajj Ventress triumphant, a glowing yellow lightsaber humming in her right hand.
Hands up, she demanded, adding, all four of them.
Like a cornered animal, even now Morrigai tried to flee. He turned and ran, right into Voss's powerful punch. The force of the blow spun the Volpi around, and he fell to the ground. He started to rise, only to find himself staring at a lightsaber and a blaster both centimeters from his face.
It's over, Morrigai. We've got you.
Morrigai looked at them, anguished. He tried a final time.
Please! My family needs me! I'll give you triple what they're paying you!
I already told you, it doesn't work that way,
Ventress said. Her eyes narrowed.
And you've wasted my time making me run around this city. Triple won't even cover my fee.
Our fee, Voss reminded her. Let's go. Not to cast a shadow on this spectacular capture, but let's talk payment.
Voss lounged against the side of Ventress's banshee, peering up at her as she descended. When she'd told him the name of the vessel, he'd been amused that she had obviously heard the term banshee applied to herself and had decided to embrace the reference. Banshee, the ship, was a flat, disc-shaped pursuit craft. Its two engine nacelles were powerful, but with a snub-nosed cockpit bristling with weapons, it was not particularly aesthetically pleasing. It sported a turret-mounted triple blaster atop it, and the cockpit had two anti-personnel blasters and two heavier laser cannons. The Banshee was made for two purposes, hitting hard and getting away fast. And that was enough for her.
Morrigai had offered no further resistance and now sat in the hold, trussed up and broken. Ventress simply could have retracted the ramp and taken off, but instead she found herself eyeing the interloper.
I reckon it's an even split,
Voss continued. He gave her one of his winning smiles.
After all, we do make quite a team.
She slitted her eyes and scrutinized him, thinking. He was quite attractive, but many men were. He was strong and fast, but he could be stronger and faster. He was genuinely amusing, which was rare, and she suspected that he was more intelligent than her private nickname for him, Idiot, reflected. And he wasn't easily discouraged. In the field of bounty hunting, that counted for a lot. So instead of flat-out refusing again, Ventress planted her hands on her hips and asked,
"Why are you so hot to be part of a team? Need someone to pick up your slack?"
His brown eyes widened, and he placed a hand on his chest.
"Me? Are you kidding? I do the heavy lifting."
She waited.
"Well, it's a lot of work for one person," he said. "Even you have to admit that."
Ventress remained silent. His smirk, which had been perpetual until this point, slipped a little, and he looked away.
"It's just, I'm getting tired of being a loner, if that makes any sense."
Unexpectedly, memories flooded Ventress. Most of her life, she had been with someone, only to inevitably lose them in the cruelest of ways. First, her master, Kai Narek, then Mother Talzin and her sisters. Dead now, all of them. They had loved her, and they were slain.
Dooku had not loved her.
She had thought he had. Not as a woman, of course, or even as a daughter, but as an apprentice. Someone who showed promise, whom he enjoyed training and shaping. How eager she had been to learn, to serve him, to obey, and how quickly he had discarded her. She had meant something to him only when he could use her.
There was, Ventress thought bitterly, something terribly askew with a universe in which out of all her allies and mentors, Dooku was alive and the others breathed no more. The painful reverie lasted but a moment. Ventress knew her weaknesses and knew how to bypass them. They were liabilities she had run across more than once in her solo career as a bounty hunter. Once with Pluma Soti, a young cocky girl who had been taken from her family to be an unwilling bride, and again whenever a bounty's family had muddied the waters, as had happened earlier. She should say no to the amusing idiot who stood before her. Keep well away from partners and entanglements and trust. Instead, Ventress found herself saying,
"Fine. I'm game. We'll split it."
Voss's composure slipped. Adroit as she had seen him be earlier today, he actually slid a little where he leaned against the curving metal. He caught himself quickly. "Really?"
At his unabashed delight and surprise, a warning flare went up somewhere deep inside her.
"Guard yourself."
It was too late now, though. Her voice was hard as she replied.
"But there's no way I'm carrying you."
She shoved a stiffened finger pointedly into his broad chest.
"If you want to partner with me, you've got work to do. This isn't playtime. This is a job. You're going to need to learn how to run faster and fight harder. No foolish errors. No lost quarries because you want to make a grand gesture. I won't tolerate laziness or stupidity. Got it?"
Surprise, quickly hooded, flashed in his eyes. The grin reemerged in its dazzling brilliance.
"Always feisty. But you might make a decent partner yet."
"You could use a little bit more training."
She strode up the ramp and started to climb up the ladder. He followed.
"I think you'll find I'm up to the task," he said.
Ventress glanced down at him to notice he was appreciatively eyeing her derriere.
"That won't be happening,"
she said dryly.
"I don't mix business with pleasure."
"You don't know what you're missing,"
he insisted.
"Then I'll have to remain happily ignorant. And you'll remain alive. For now, anyway. If you're going to get half the pay, you'll need to do half the work. And we'll need to line up twice as many jobs. Come on."
"Okay. Partner."
As she climbed quickly with Voss behind her,
Ventress found herself hiding a smile.
Chapter 8.
Voss had thought Ventress had been teasing him with the whole run faster, fight harder, you need training bit. So when within the first hour of their partnership, she handed him a list of running times to beat, weights to lift, and insisted on a regimen of daily hand-to-hand combat with her, he'd laughed out loud.
You're taking the joke too far, he said, tossing the pad back to her.
She caught it and threw it back.
I seldom joke.
Voss peered at her.
I thought my audition with Morrigai went pretty well.
It did. That's why I agreed to take you on at all. But you've got a few things to learn before you're ready to play the part.
He did not like her choice of words, as they hit too close to the truth. Voss had been careful not to use the force around her, but he had been in physical training since he could walk. Was Ventress attempting to assert herself over him, as Kenobi had warned she might? Or did she really just not see how good he was?
Or did she already suspect that he was a Jedi?
I'm fine, thanks, he said.
Ventress folded her slender arms.
Tell you what, if you can knock me out, you can skip the extra training.
Oh, there is no way this is going to end well. I don't like hitting a woman.
Then every woman you fight is going to win. An enemy is an enemy, Voss, regardless of size, species, or sex.
There was no getting out of it. While the Banshee bore them through hyperspace, they went down into the cargo hold.
Voss limbered up, cracked his neck, and while he was settling into position,
she sprang. He darted to the right, his hand closing on her ankle.
Deftly, she twisted in midair.
Voss almost dodged her other foot as it descended onto his face, but reminded himself to be slower than usual and not use the force. He did, however, turn his head so her kick struck his cheek and not his nose. His stumble was exaggerated, but the grunt of pain was not.
Ventress let him catch his breath, and they circled.
Quick reaction, grabbing my foot,
she said grudgingly. Inwardly, he grimaced that it hadn't escaped her notice.
Kenobi had said she was sharp.
He smirked, hoping he looked overconfident.
See? I'm better than you thought.
He blocked the lightning-fast punch, but pulled his own. This was turning out to be more challenging than he'd expected. How hard was too hard to punch her? Should he really try to knock her out? While Voss was pondering, drawing his fist back for another blow, Ventress seized his other arm and pulled. Voss decided to let the whole mess conclude and permitted himself to be thrown. Honestly, he had to admit, it wasn't that hard. Ventress was unobtrusively using the force. An ordinary opponent would never have noticed it. He landed on the hard metal of the cargo floor, and her knee was on his throat. Ventress rolled her eyes, then extended a hand to haul him to his feet.
I guess I don't get to skip the extra training,
Voss said, massaging his throat.
You performed better than expected,
was her reply. She picked up the pad with her instructions and tossed it to him.
But you can do better.
So now, Quinlan Voss, Jedi Master, was once again in training. After the first few sessions, he found himself actually glad of it. Not only did Ventress fight dirty and ruthlessly, but she fought extraordinarily well. He'd seen a lot of it in their first hunt together, but that had only been the tip of the iceberg. Voss supposed it was only to be expected from someone trained by Count Dooku. He had wondered how it was that both Kenobi, a superb fighter, and Anakin, who was also excellent, though a bit reckless, had been unable to take her down. Now, he understood. Voss made a point of utilizing the moves she had taught him on their next couple of hunts, so she'd see how much he'd learned. The jobs were not particularly interesting in and of themselves. The usual routine of one rotten underworld Sleemo putting a bounty out on another rotten underworld Sleemo. Still, Voss discovered that hunting alongside Ventress, and showing her all the things he had learned, was a great deal of fun.